Welcome to episode 1025. It's Monday, March 20th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central. This show's sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com, and listeners like you. Pick up a domain name for just 99 cents, or get a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain at GoDaddy.com. All my GoDaddy specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Start supporting this show today by becoming a GNC Insider. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, I'm glad to be back. Yes, we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of Moore's Law. We'll talk about that a little bit later here in the show. But, boy, I got a lot to share, a lot to catch you up on. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There's no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. Absolutely thrilled to be back here in the studio and be with all of you. I've had an incredible 7, 8, 9, 10 days. And I am red bulled up tonight because I had to be, just because having spent a week in Vegas, I'm still jet lagging. I got home yesterday afternoon and my phone is like barking like crazy at me because I didn't mute it. So let me shut it off. But lots of stuff to talk about on the tech side. Lots to share with you on what's been happening in the past week. And yes, I'm guilty. I did everything in my power to try to get two shows in the can. And man, I should have known better. I really should have. So first and foremost, apologies to the Ohana, to all the longtime listeners for really no shows last week. But boy, I tell you, going to make up for it tonight in a big, big way. But again, a warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime viewers and listeners of this show. And during my 10 years, 1,000 episode discussion, I talked about you guys a lot. I talked about this family of listeners that have been with this show through thick and thin. And I talked about it a lot, and at some point that recording will probably become available, and every person that was at the session said that what I shared with them about the relationship I have with all of you was the best session that they had attended. I was up against a guy that won this year's podcast awards. Rob has a podcast during my speaking session. So I felt very privileged to have the audience that I did have. He was a tough gig to compete against, but I had a great, great event. I'll talk about that a little bit more here in a few minutes. But again, a warm welcome to the Hana and family members of the show. If you're brand new, you're checking the show out for the very first time, if you're one of those folks that was in that audience, I want to welcome you to the Ohana. If you're a brand new listener and you're just maybe we met at NMX or NAB, I want to welcome you as well. Welcome you into the audience here. I want to get to know all of you. So it's important here that you know how to really get connected with the show. And it's really a piece of cake. And I'm just going to kind of quickly here walk everyone through it. All you got to do is go over to wrong button. All you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over on the website, there's subscription links to iTunes or via RSS. Soon our one-click stuff is going to be up. I'll talk about that as well. You can contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com. All that information is right there on the website. You can get hooked up with our newsletter as well. So all those important links are right there in the second column of the website. Easy for you to find all the information. subscribe to the show, drop me an email about the show. And if you haven't sent an email before, make sure you tell me who you are, where you live, a little bit about yourself so I get to know you. And that's what family members do. And the newsletter, of course, contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight, all the links that will be basically that I stuff that I found to share. So definitely check out, get signed up for the newsletter. So, you know, I think tonight is just, we're going to go a little bit out of sequence of the show. It's just back in the saddle, kind of getting you guys up to speed of everything. But I definitely want to take just a moment here before we get digging too deep and want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. Now, GoDaddy has been with us through thick and thin, fast approaching 10 years of sponsorship with this show nonstop. And it's been an incredible ride, and they have brought to us incredible products for you to be able to purchase and get access to at great deals. And right now, it's no exception. On our geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page, we've got 99cent.coms. That's on new or even transferred in domains. We've got a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain as well. That's promo code GEEKS12. GEEKS12 is the code. GNC99 is get that .com. And we've got the GoDaddy new product, the website builder, that comes with a Microsoft Outlook email address and also a free domain. Again, a $1 a month for 12 months. So there's really some incredible value there. For a buck, you get a .com, or 99 cents. For a $1 a month, 12 months, you get the domain, website builder, Microsoft Outlook email address account. And again, for 12 months by using the promo code GNCGOT. And then we've got the Geeks12 $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain. Now, a couple of these offers we know have expired. I need to get in there tonight and remove a couple of those. But one thing I did notice this evening, just before the show, the 50% off codes, remarkably, are still active. I don't know why. I thought they were supposed to die on the vine. They haven't. So there's two codes that are still live on 50% off new hosting plans with a free domain, or 50% off of 12 months of again, that business website builder. But the better deal on that website builder is the GNC GOT code with a $1 per month. All of these are great products by GoDaddy.com. Again, the 99cent.com, this is, you can't really beat this. You really can't from a being able to get a domain name. And then, of course, the hosting accounts that start at just $1 a month. Economy, perfect to get started with a basic site. It's normally $6.99 a month, but $1 a month right now, you get one website, unlimited bandwidth, 100 gigs of storage. You can do a lot with that. You can get up and running. And then at some point in the future, if you need to upgrade, you go up to the deluxe or ultimate plan. Right now, their ultimate plans are on sale for $7.99 a month. So that's pretty incredible in itself that those plans are available at the price that they are. And definitely go over to geekandcentral.com, again, /GoDaddy. We want you to click on that link in the actual website. Go there to lock in your promo code. All right? And there's a code there for every occasion. We want you to use it. And again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let me take you guys through the sequence of events and try to give you some insights of what I saw, experienced, felt. I'm actually at this point still kind of, I kind of talked about it on Facebook today. I'm coming out of this like, it was like a 1 week of 150% at all times. And then turn a switch off and you're like, you feel like you're going dead stop. And I was actually talking Saturday with my mom a little bit. I said, I'm kind of bored. And she says, well, you've been going 150 miles an hour. And of course, you've come to a dead stop and nothing's a lot going on the weekend. So you're kind of bored. And I was still in Vegas at the time. Had finished up some last meetings, but I flew out of here in Honolulu on Friday. I landed early in the morning in Vegas on Saturday. Really did not sleep that much on the flight. You know, my brain is working the whole flight over. get into town. Angelo, my CIO, was already there. We had not yet finished the one-click subscribe on Android project. That was still, it was close, but it wasn't ready. And I was holding a press releases, and everything was contingent on him finishing up. He had already prearranged a tour at some car place, and basically said, "Okay, dude, we worked a little bit in the morning." He went to his event. I basically said, "Okay, I'm gonna get the press release completely ready. Everything, you know, I went through everything. I had this whole launch strategy, and which was really going to be what was supposed to happen over a 5-day period." Got compacted into about 3 hours, and he came back and got to the hotel room about 2:30. And I said, "Okay." When I press go on the press release announcement, I said, "It's a 3 hours. They make you hold for 3 hours. You can't press it and go live immediately." I said, "So if I send this thing to go at 6:10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, will you be done?" He said, "I'll be done." So I went click, and I initiated the press release sequence, and he finished about 10 minutes before the press release went on the street. And really, that opened a whole sequence of things. We announced on Facebook, we announced on Google+, we'd already pre-briefed a whole bunch of podcasters, and we cut them everyone loose. So immediately the buzz started to build, social media started to respond, we started getting emails from some of our key podcasters, and I'm kind of responding real time and yet not had very much sleep, and trying to make sure that our message was clear on what we had just created. And I want to make you guys clear on what we have created, because it is still, I don't think, fully understood by the space, because we're waiting on the developers, the app developers. So those of you that are Android users, this is what's going to happen. So just like today on an iPhone, when you click subscribe on iTunes, when you subscribe on iOS and you click on it, the podcasting app automatically loads. And all you have to do is click and you go subscribe. That's what happens on an iOS device. So what's going to happen to an Android listener who does not have a podcast app with one click enabled? You're going to see a new link on the website that's going to have a little Android. You're going to click on the Android. And what will happen from there is, if you don't have an app, we're going to load a mobile web page. It's going to tell you about subscribeonandroid.com. Just a little bit of text. And below that will be some apps that are, and actually, you're, as a podcaster, the banner's going to show up on the website. So you're going to know that, yep, that's a podcast I want to subscribe to. Number two, here are the apps that support OneClick. The listener will be able to load that app. It'll load it from the Play Store. And once the app is loaded, we're going to still have that mobile page up. They'll be able to just click subscribe. And from then on, they'll never go back to that website. They won't go back to subscribeonandroid.com ever again. What they will do from that point forward, those listeners, when they click on the Android icon on a podcaster's website, the Android app that they have chosen will automatically open, and they'll just click subscribe. And that's it. Same thing like on iOS. So Podcast Addict, Beyond Pod, and a couple of others have agreed to initially launch with this. But those of you that are Android listeners of this show, you need to ask your favorite app developer to implement this on their app. And what we're going to do is through audience, and I'm trying to type something here, through audiences and through podcasters, we're going to really get things moving here. And the website can be viewed on just a regular web browser as well. We've got some information on there. But more importantly, and this is a brand agnostic page, and we did it on purpose. For those of you that can't see this page, it basically is at subscribeonandroid.com, and it has an availability to put a feed in there with some information, and it tells about what the site is. This is for the website side. And then what will happen is if they come in with a mobile device, we load a different page. But anyway, this page for developers shows the code implementation that they have to make in their app. The Podcast Addict guy said it took 5 minutes to implement the code. and basically make their app one click ready. And for those of you that have, you know, been listening to me for all these years, we've never had a good way to get Android listeners subscribed to a podcast. It's just been a pain. And we fixed it. We really have. So now we're just waiting. At this point, it's not even implemented on Geek News Central because we're waiting on the app developers to release the update of their apps. Podcast Addict version 3.0 will contain the one click. We don't know what version of Beyond Pod, but as soon as it's up, I'll let you guys know. And you guys will be able to experience it yourself. But this was big news and kept us pretty busy all week. So anyway, this goes on Saturday. We got it on the street. We made the announcement about the Blueberry Podcast Directory going to 250,000 plus shows. You guys kind of knew that already. That wasn't necessarily a big secret, and that will be happening sometime this week because we didn't want to do that while we were in Vegas and then have the website collapse because we missed something. But anyway, that's going to happen this week. So Sunday was a setup, and we had meeting with vendors, plus an exhibitor party. So I get back to the room like midnight on Sunday night, had gotten maybe 6 hours of sleep on Saturday night. So Monday morning, interviews first thing in the morning, we're in the booth, we're talking with vendors. I mean, it's all day long. You're going 9 hours in, you know, in the booth. And then Tuesday, same thing, right back at it. A Monday night was an opening night party. So there went my chance to do a show Monday night. Again, 10:30, 11 o'clock, crawling back in the room and collapsing. And it was all these, you know, doing the socializing, the networking, everything goes along with it. Tuesday was the podcast awards. And what was cool about the podcast awards is I was able to do some opening remarks just before the show start with Rick Calvert, the head of New Media Expo. And Adam Curry, the Podfather, was in the audience. I was able to recognize and give a shout out to Adam. Then the awards ceremony took place. The host and stuff were funny, but sometimes maybe not 100% family safe for sure. Hey, that was, you know, how they ran it. Podcast One was the sponsor and ran ads during the awards ceremony, which was kind of odd. But anyway, they were great hosts in putting that on. So after the awards ceremony, I was able to basically talk with Adam for about maybe 15 minutes or so. Everyone wanted to talk to Adam. And very cordial. Those of you that don't know, he just recently went through another breakup, and talked to him a little bit about that, and I asked him about his daughter. We just had a nice, it was nice conversation, and I definitely appreciate Adam taking time out of his time to come to the awards ceremony. Of course, he was the winner of year one, along with Leo Laporte. But now the torch has been 100% passed, and I will probably act as a minor consultant in the next year podcast awards, but that's it. This year I was a big consultant because I had to teach him how to do it. And they're going to make changes and do whatever they're going to do. So that was Tuesday, post-podcast awards party, went to that. So it goes on and on. So Wednesday, I did my 10-year, 1,000-episode presentation. Session lasts 45 minutes, but the audience stayed another 45 minutes. There was no one following me to have question and follow-up. That was good. I had more interviews live. Don Bain was doing, 5 hours a day live. I don't know if any of you watched that here at Geek News Central on the live page. But then Wednesday evening, the team, my Raw Voice team, we went to the German restaurant, Hauptbraus, or I can't even pronounce it, but it's a German restaurant in Vegas, a kitty corner from the Hard Rock. And I've never really drank too much German beer, but I got their Dunkel. Oh my goodness, was it good. It was really, really, really good. Drank more than I should have, but didn't. What was weird, I kind of told the guys, I said, I don't drink this much beer, but if I normally if I'd consume this much booze, I would be like, you'd be carrying me out. But anyway, got back to the hotel room at a decent hour, slept. But Thursday was the last day of the show. Did that. I got to see the show on a near run. I got about 2 hours to go through the halls, meet with the vendors I wanted to meet with breathlessly and try to catch everyone. The show finished at 2 o'clock. We went to and by the time we got shipping done and back to the hotel, it was like 5:36. Had dinner with the remaining team members that were still there, and then boom, Friday morning we had an evening meeting Thursday night. Friday morning had two meetings. Got to hang out with Mike Dell, who's one of our support folks at Raw Voice, and his wife and some friends of theirs that were there, along with Angelo. And then Saturday, everyone was gone except for me. And this is when I kind of like had this breath of like, and then it was just kind of a weird day. Sunday flew home, and that's what's been going on. So it was a crazy, crazy, crazy week. And I took a long time talking about this tonight, but I wanted to just kind of share with you guys and kind of get you caught up on what's going on. I'm really excited about Raw Voice and Blueberry and our business. We know that our slogan, post, upload, and publish, has really hit home. We've been very successful in getting that out. There is no one really asking us anymore what services we offer. We are well-known in the space, well-established. We talk about what's new. The biggest feedback I got from the majority of the folks that were coming by the booth was that they said, hey, you folks are innovating. We don't see anyone else really innovating in the space, so thank you for innovating. So we felt good about that. We met, you know, that was one of my main things, is be able to keep moving the ball forward. And my team was just absolutely fantastic. We did support for people. We met with new podcasters. We were able to talk with some very, 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 very big clients, which I have now proposals to get ready and will be bringing on. I can't wait to share with you with some of the companies that we're going to be announcing that we're working with. So just really things are going good. So, you know, knock on wood here. And again, it all goes back to the genesis of sitting in that hotel room doing the first episode of this show in October of 2004. And the relationship that we've had with this audience from that very beginning, we all know that, you know, the Raw Voice team was born from this podcast, from people that listened to this show. And, that to me to this day is one of the most incredible parts of this whole story. I had a reporter ask me, has anyone ever told your guys' story? And I said, no. I've told the story. This audience knows that story. But I don't think the world at large knows our story. So I think maybe we're going to be getting some exposure. Again, a lot of interviews, a lot of people asking a lot of questions, which is good. And we've been in space 10 years, and we've paid our dues in many, many ways. But I want to thank all of you for being without me during the past week. And I'm going to get into the tech here in just a microsecond. But I did want to share with you the experience I've been having with the Harry's Razors. So I told you that on the last show that I was going to really put these babies through the test. So I loaded my second blade, and I really didn't need to, but I wanted to, and I could, because the price points on these things are crazily inexpensive as compared to, you know, it's like a 6-to-1 type of ratio in cost as compared to the blades that I've been using before. And, you know, fellas and even the ladies want a nice clean, either nice clean shave on the face or a nice clean smooth shave on the legs. That's all part of, I see a lot of guys running around with the full beard thing, but, they definitely don't need the Harry's Razors, but they will someday, when they decide to go nice, clean, and lean and mean like I am. But, The one thing that you guys all know is to step into the studio, there's about 99.9% of the time I have took a razor in my face 5 minutes before we sit down, or, you know, for 15 minutes before we start the show. And so for me, it's, you know, putting on a good appearance for all of you that are watching. But I think these two guys that started the company were looking to create a better shaving experience. And that's what Harry's is all about. Harry's bought a blade factory in Germany. They've been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades for nearly a century. They've cut out the middlemen, offering an amazing shave. They're not in like some super docked package that has an RFID chip on it that you have to have five keys. You know, and basically they're worth about the same weight. Well, they cost as much as like their equivalent weight in gold. So we've got a starter kit for you. I think you're going to be really happy with this product. I want you to give it a try. The starter kit is just $15. All right? And we're going to get you $5 off. All right? That includes a razor, three blades, your choice of Harry's shave cream or foaming shave gel. I use the foaming shave gel. That's when I tried. I usually use shave cream. Very happy with the lather and everything that it gets. Now, again, as an added bonus, you get $5 off your first purchase with my code GEEKNEWS. So after using my code, you can get an entire month worth of shaving for just $10. Shipping is always free. This is simple. They have a really cool website that walks you through. So here's what I want you to do. Support the show today by having a nice clean shave like I am, both ladies and men. You guys can get ladies. Don't forget, the legs need some attention from time to time as well. So go to harrys.com. And again, we'll give you $5 off if you type in my code GEEKNEWS with your first purchase. That's harrys.com. And again, enter my coupon code GEEKNEWS at checkout for $5 off the starter set and start shaving smarter and saving a ton of money today. I want to thank Harry's for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. And I don't know how to show you guys this. It's good. Okay. Bada bing, bada boom, bada bing, bada boom. Chat room, hello, 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 hello in the chat room. And let me close this and let me open up this next one. Get these things kind of administratively cleaned up here. And I should have showed this page. Yes, sponsorharrys.com. Promo code GEEKNEWS, $5 off. We'll leave that up for a few minutes. I didn't put that up in the lower third earlier. All right. So, wow. I mean, a lot of stuff going on. A lot. Did any of you get an Apple Watch? Did you guys make the move? I didn't order one. If you did, I want to hear from you. But most of you already saw this, but I got to see the Star Wars trailer today. I know it's been out a few days. I know many of you have already seen it. Are you excited? Are you excited for the Christmas release of Star Wars? What can be any better than that? You know, the Mad Max thing was on promoing on TV last night. My wife said, I don't want to see that. And of course, I'm going to go see Mad Max. But she says, but I'm going to go see Star Wars. Did you see the trailer? And I was kind of like, what trailer? I've been living in this, you know, this bubble of Vegas for the past week. But the new trailer is pretty cool. And people are already doing mock-ups of the audio. But this is going to be an exciting movie. It really is. And I think all of you that have got kids or teenagers or young adults that have not been exposed to the Star Wars trilogy already, come on now. Let's get them engaged. I think we all need a refresher. So I think in about November, we're going to run through everything and just be prepped so that we're ready to pick up and really watch the story evolve. So exciting stuff with the Star Wars trailer. Definitely check that link. Will be up in the show notes if you haven't watched it already. All right, there's a saying in the Navy: loose lips sink ships. Well, loose lips slip when Windows 10 is going to ship. AMD's CEO let it slip that Windows 10 is coming in July. And he wasn't supposed to say that at all. So it appears that Windows is going to ship on July 10th. Or then around that date. So, end of July is when he said. So, I'm sure he got a call from the Microsoft CEO, and I'm sure that was a very pleasant discussion. Oh, don't you love it when stuff gets busted out like that all the time, when people are saying stuff and they're just used to talking about it amongst their circle, and they get in a financial call to talk about the company earnings, and like, oh yeah, we're ready with Windows 10 to launch in July with them because of the Microsoft rollout, blah blah blah, and people are like, huh? What did you just say? Now, in more interesting news, Comcast and Time Warner are in crunch talks with the Department of Justice over their $42 billion mega merger. Sources close to the two companies have told the Wall Street Journal that the U.S. Department of Justice and the FCC are not happy with the proposed business gobble, and both want to hold face-to-face talks to discuss the ins and outs of the plans. So on Wednesday, Comcast and Time Warner Cable officials will meet with officials from the Justice Department, Antitrust Division, and U.S. Broadband Regulator. The FCC is considering holding a formal hearing, into the merger. This does not bode well. Comcast and Time Warner Cable are, the two big monsters in the cable space. And we know that Comcast really wants this business. But their competitors have objected and saying they're going to be too big. They're going to be, this is where the antitrust stuff comes in. So we'll see how this develops. Now, at the same time, let me see if I can find this article. This is where did I put this stupid thing? I thought I had it in a stack here. All right, hang on. I'll find it. So Comcast has, I guess, their headquarters in Philadelphia. So what they have been trying to do, and what they are doing, is they're planning to build a new skyscraper alongside its headquarters. But the folks in Philadelphia want the company to give more back to the city. So they're going to build this monster skyscraper, 1,121 feet. And it will complement Comcast's still shiny main campus, completed in 2008. The new building will be the tallest skyscraper outside of Chicago and New York when finished, and it'll cost $1.2 billion, with $40 million being kicked in by Pennsylvania. Why are they kicking in $40 million? Comcast is doing like $68 billion a year, and they can't pay the whole thing themselves? Well, more than a quarter of the 1.6 million citizens in Philadelphia County live below the poverty line. So an investigation by the Philadelphia Inquirer, calling Philly the poorest big city in America, put the rate of deep poverty, that's families of at least three making no more than $9,700 annually, at about 13%, roughly 200,000 people. Well, here you've got a company that's making $68.8 billion last year, and the city of Philadelphia didn't quite break even at $7.1 billion, and there seems to be a tense relationship. In that, Comcast has had very little success in making services available to the folks in that poverty level, making it cheap enough for them to get service. Most of the folks in Philly, their monthly cable bill is about $154. I think that's pretty cheap compared to what I'm paying. But there's a big beef here, and they're not happy with the relationship. So they're in their franchise negotiation period. So they could be on shaky water in a city that they call their where their headquarters are at. So we'll keep an eye on this and talk about it. All right, let's talk just a little bit about Moore's Law. And I think we all can agree. All of us have been listening to this show. Anyone that's a geek knows what Moore's Law is. For those of you that don't, essentially, starting in 1959, it was predicted that the number of transistors that would be on a, that could be placed on a chip would double every year. Now, that continued for a very, very long time until, I believe, sometime in the 60s. No, maybe 70s. They basically said that the number of chips on a, the number of transistors on a chip would double about every 2 years. So at this point, if you look back in 1979, the 8088 had one CPU, had about 29,000 transistors built on a 3 micrometer process to reach its 4.77 megahertz clock speed. Today, a modern 4-core Haswell processor packs in around 1.4 billion transistors on a 22 nanometer process to reach clock speeds of about 3 gigahertz. Now, you know, can we go to 2.8 billion transistors on a chip in the next 2 years? Well, there's some processes in place, and maybe it's not going to be sustainable. But we've been talking about not being sustainable for the past 10 years, and they have been able to essentially keep up. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, transistors have fallen below 20 million to the dollar. So that gives you an idea of, you know, where we're at price-wise as compared to 2.6 million to the dollar in 2002. So again, an incredible 20 million to the dollar today, 2.6 million to the dollar in 2002 in a price range. So very, very cool stuff. And happy Moore's Law Day to all of you. All right, FBI agents can't pretend to be an ISP serviceman to search homes without a warrant. So a Vegas hotel raid broke Fourth Amendment rules, so says a judge. So evidence gathered by FBI agents who posed as broadband repairmen to enter a suspect's villa without a warrant has been thrown out by a U.S. judge. This court in Nevada has decided the G-men violated the Fourth Amendment rights of poker ace Wee Sing Poo when they searched his Las Vegas VIP suite while disguised as ISP technicians. If such a ruse was allowed to stand, the U.S. government could search any home in America without a warrant, the court ruled. The FBI believed that Pua and his associates were running in an illegal World Cup gambling den out of his villa on the grounds of Caesar Palace between June and July of 2014. And with the hotel's help, agents cut off the broadband links to the home. Then two of them turned up posing as ISPs to repair the internet connection. So, this is an interesting move. So the wealthy Malaysian asked Nevada District Court to rule the search warrant was invalid because the G-men had kept the shenanigans involving the villa's broadband a secret from the courts in February. So this is incredible stuff. So as a result, the evidence against Pua has been stricken from the record, which rather derails the prosecution case. However, the criminal complaint against Pua 50 continues, according to the FBI. $13 million in bets were unlawfully placed before the villa was raided and its computers seized. So we'll see what happens with this guy. But they can't just come and say, hey, I'm here to fix your stuff and in order to take your stuff. All right, beating internet censors with BitTorrent's Maelstrom browser. This is exciting. So BitTorrent folks have come up with a browser that allow people to build and drive websites without having a website. And it's essentially using a BitTorrent technology that's underlying in the Chromium browser. This is an early, early, early beta, folks. But what they're trying to do here is to protect sites like WikiLeaks, who published a controversial archive of documents and emails that leaked from Sony. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So basically, you can you could basically act as a web host for those types of sites with some plugins that are built into, or some stuff that's built into the Chrome, this new Chromium build of, it's called Maelstrom. So anyway, the link will be up in the show notes on what they're going to do here. Pretty exciting stuff in the BitTorrent space. It's basically decentralizing the internet. All right, there's some pretty bad emails that prove that Sony and the MPAA, this should come as a shock, are actively lobbying governments to push for what's called the TPP and TTIP, and are even helping to create criminal enforcement strategies to enforce draconian copyright laws. So there's some images of some emails, and in it are some key points. Finally, in regards to trade, the MPAA and MPA, with the strong support of your studios, continue to advocate to governments around the world that the pressing need for strong pro-IP trade policies such as TPP and the proposed EU/US trade agreement TTIP. The MPAA's working group is studying to develop the next generation of criminal enforcement strategies to present to federal prosecutors. So it goes on and on. All this stuff that Sony is involved in helping the MPAA come up with lobbying to be able to go after governments to implement these types of treaties and agreements. So this is pretty nutso stuff. And it should not be surprised at all. But people that are putting these posts up and with these information, these links, are getting takedown notices from Sony, as one would expect. So much of this data is probably going to be on and offline as that basically battle continues. TechDirt was reporting on it, basically saying Sony Pictures Entertainment is asking for your help in protecting the First Amendment and declining to exploit the stolen information, basically their email stuff. And basically TechDirt and other groups have said, hey, this is, you know, this is on the internet. It's fair game now. It's reportable. We're not taking stuff down. But what's ironic, it's been revealed that Sony just happens to be making a movie of Edward Snowden. Apparently it's fine and dandy for Sony to make a movie deal telling how the press was able to report on a bunch of stolen information. But if anyone in the media goes and talks about Sony in the exact way, then it's magically illegal. Is Sony really going to try to push that argument in courts? Because it's going to get a massive First Amendment smackdown if it tries. So we'll see. But it is kind of a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek type thing here for Sony. Hey, do you want to talk about, you guys know that when I do go to Vegas, I usually gamble on the last day. And for those of you that are younger that have not been to Vegas, this is one of those trips where the casino won. Now, I've had a pretty good run over the years. I've had some good luck. I don't go very large. I just very meager types of gambling that I do. And I like playing craps. And the dices were not good for me. So I paid for the hotel's electricity bill for probably about 15 seconds. few seconds of electricity bills and stuff add up to those big buildings in Vegas. So don't forget, the house always wins. 95% of the time, anyway. And there's a good article over on time.com talking about John Oliver delivering a trademark takedown and patent trolls. John Oliver used his last week tonight soapbox to deliver a searing takedown of the U.S. patent system. I'll have that up in the link for you to review and get a little chuckle out of. Those of you using Google Wallet, well, those accounts are now FDIC insured. That's pretty wild, yeah? PayPal can't, I don't even think you even can say that. So if you store a ton of money on your Google Wallet, you probably rest a bit easier knowing that it is now FDIC insured. So if Google ever goes bust, then, or the bank's holding the Google funds go bust, then the U.S. government will step in to the tune of up to $250,000 in your Google Wallet account. There's a good article over on LibertyBlitzkrieg.com talking about Congress is attempting to reauthorize key Patriot Act provisions by sneaking them into the USA Freedom Act. I'll have this link up in the show notes. All of you should read this. This is very important. This is a little bit old news. This is about 3 days old, but I wanted to share it with you that they're trying to slide provisions in there. Even though they're trying to remove some of the stuff that's going on, they're putting provisions back in to really kind of, it's not what it's meant to be. So they're trying to get that into the legislation. So be aware, because June 1st, provisions of the Section 215 and the, oh my goodness, the, okay, the Patriot Act is going to expire. So anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, don't forget tonight, if you have comments on today's show, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach out on Twitter as well at Geek News. I'm on Facebook as Todd Cochran, and of course on Google Plus as well. So don't be afraid to reach out and holler at me. Hey, congratulations to Leo Laporte over at Twit. They're going to relaunch the new Screen Savers. So they're going to resurrect the show that launched the tech video into the stratosphere. So interesting move here by Twit. Now I saw Leo on Monday. Yeah, he was coming through. He was wearing, had a bow tie, wearing a suit, and I think Leo and I both, don't take this the wrong way, Leo, we need to go on a diet. Leo is he's gotten really big, bigger than I remember him seeing him before. So Leo, please take care of yourself, because you know, we can't lose anyone in this space. We're sitting behind the mics too much and eating too much. So please, you know, join me in losing weight, okay? So, but yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I saw Leon's kind of shocked. And maybe he's shocked at seeing me too. But, you know, I've kind of maintained my level not going up. But it looked like Leo had gained quite a bit of weight. Not to say anything bad, but just kind of, it was one of those, whoa, I haven't seen him in about a year and a half, and it's kind of like surprised me. But he's always been a big guy, but I didn't think, I think he's gotten quite a bit heavier recently. Okay, IKEA is thinking that they're going to be able to design furniture that basically teaches you how to cook. So there's some tech stuff that they got going on, and some tables and some projection and some cool stuff like that. So I have that link up in the show notes for you all to check out. I had a bunch, I mean, ton of science news today. Some of it's really cool, good reads. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we're already running long. But the mysterious cold spot out in our universe, scientists have kind of done some more digging and kind of come up with some ideas on what it could be. So I have that link up in the show notes. There's a great video on Ceres, a bright spot. The origins are still unknown. But orbiting the daylight side of the dwarf planet, NASA's Dawn probe acquired new images of the bright spots that have grabbed scientists' attention. 14,400 miles away, they got some snapshots, and they still don't fully know what it is. At that range, you think they would be able to get a little more detail, but not yet. So we'll see. Sounds like we need to send a probe down there. Strapping space sails, astronaut moon backpack straps are up for auction. So two fabric straps that held in place the life support backpacks worn by astronauts as they walked on the moon are heading for auction, along with hundreds of other artifacts and a pair of space history themed sails. So two straps, one from Alan Bean, the fourth man to walk on the moon, and the other, Edward Mitchell, the sixth moonwalker, being offered for sale by Bonhams in New York City. And they're probably going to go more than any of us can even think about affording to buy. So, anyway, they expect them to sell $90,000 to $90,000. So, some other stuff available there too. It'd be nice to just get a memento or something, something that went up, like a picture, a card from a deck of cards, or something like that. NASA snapped new videos of dwarf planet Ceres, and it's got that's available. Oh, I already talked about that. So that was in there twice, all right? My apologies. And there was a couple other things here. Oh, wait till you see this. NASA.gov has relaunched their website. And this thing is beautiful. They really did a good job on this. And okay, what did I do? All right, here it is for all of you to see in its glory. And those of you that are not watching, please load NASA.gov on your website and take a look. It's a lot of imagery. A lot of the normal links are there, but the website is definitely more dynamic now. And I think what they had to do is they had to get it mobile ready, because Google put the hammer down today on tomorrow on non-mobile ready websites. Okay, moving along here, getting out of the space news. D-Link has issued an apology to customers for an ongoing security issue with many of its routers. So as you know, a problem with the Home Network Administration Protocol, HNAP, means that it is possible to bypass authorization run commands on with escalated privileges. They've done a couple of patches already. They haven't fixed it yet. So be aware that there's about a dozen D-Link routers up there that are still vulnerable, and they're expecting a patch here in the next day or so. Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, basically saying that HBO versus Netflix will kind of be like Yankees versus the Red Sox for the next probably 10 years. Netflix's goal is to become HBO faster than HBO can become Netflix. And they're basically saying that was the way Netflix chief content officer Ted Sarandos laid out competition between the two companies at the start of 2013. Since then, HBO's launched a standalone streaming service, which you all know is HBO Now, which they're cracking down on people that are accessing it from overseas, which is stupid. But anyway, they're saying there's plenty of room for both, but Netflix is planning 320 hours of original content in 2015. So that's a big, big investment, and should bring us a lot of cool series. ESPN's not happy with the Verizon's Fios TV offering, saying that it's packages, because when, you know, when groups like ESPN and other folks sell their television rights to cable companies, it's usually in a bundle. So basically ESPN and ESPN2 are supposed to be part of a package, and Verizon has split it out in one of their cheaper television offerings for Fios customers. And Verizon isn't very, ESPN's not very happy. So we'll see what the ESPN and Disney do and if they go after Verizon legally. But for right now, they're kind of just complaining loudly. In a story that's blowing my mind, and one that should make all of you go, huh, just a little bit, Google's now letting you download your search history. Now, the company had previously let users view their search history, but this is the first time it's providing a download tool. So the question one must ask is, at what point do lawyers start going after this information to get download history on, you know, divorce settlements, see what the husband or the wife were searching for in their, whether it was infidelity, whether it was, looking stuff up, who knows. But Google's not going to let you download your search history. Do you want to download your search history? Do you want to have that sitting on your hard drive? I think a majority of us probably would not. I think it's just a little bit too weird, you know, just to think that now you can do that. Now, all right, I'm really going to, maybe I shouldn't say this. We're going to let the fellas do it. And fellas, this may cost you several nights on the sofa. So use this with caution. So I want you to, you know, go talk to your wife or your girlfriend and say, honey, Google's got this new thing where you can download your search results, all the search results you've typed in. Can I download and look at yours? Let me know how that goes. Let me know how that goes. I think in most loving relationships, there's probably going to be relatively no issues there. But like I said, I would suspect that there would be probably more than 50% of the folks probably don't want their spouse or significant other to see their Google search results. All right, the Rosetta spacecraft has captured the birth of a comet dust jet. This is pretty cool. They just snapped two photos at the right time. They caught jets coming out of the bottom of the comet. So very, very cool stuff. Link will be up in the show notes for you to take a peek. Automotives to gearheads, stop repairing cars. You're not going to believe this. Automakers are supporting provisions in copyright law that could prohibit home mechanics and car enthusiasts from repairing and modifying their own vehicles. In comments filed by the federal agency that will determine whether tinkering with a car constitutes a copyright violation, OEMs and their main lobbying organizations say cars have become too complex and dangerous for consumers and third parties to handle. The dispute arises from a section of the DMCA that no one thought could apply to vehicles when it was signed into law in 1998. But now, in an era where cars are ruling computing platforms, the U.S. Copyright Office is examining whether provisions of the law protect intellectual property and should prohibit people from modifying and tuning their cars. You want to talk about revolt? People are going to revolt if you tell them they cannot repair their vehicles because of copyright law. There will be massive revolt. Gearheads, oh my God, I can see it now. They won't care. Just continue to do what they're doing. Wow, shocking. It really is. All right, 1,500 iOS apps have HTTPS crippling bug. Is one of them on your device? Well, sadly, about 1,500 iPhone and iPad apps contain the HTTPS crippling vulnerability. It makes it easy for attackers to intercept encrypted passwords, bank account numbers, and other highly sensitive information, according to research released Monday. An estimated 2 million people installed the vulnerable apps, which include Citrix Open Voice, audio conferencing, the Alibaba mobile app, Movies by Flixster with Rotten Tomatoes, KaiBank Agent 3.0, Revo Restaurant Point of Sale, Source DNA, AF Networking, and a whole bunch of others. So, link will be up in the show notes. You can see this. You can see the full list. But, man. And they only scanned about 5,000 free apps. They didn't go through the whole store. This is cool. Websites will soon, or actually now, can push notifications on Android through Chrome. So, push notifications on your phone tablet are no longer the domain of native apps. With Chrome version 42, Google added the ability for websites to send notifications to an Android phone. Don't get too upset if you're already getting inundated with interruptions from apps all day long. The new feature is an opt-in choice, so it's not on by default. And the first sites that are expected to implement it will be like some news sites and that type of stuff. So very, very cool stuff with Chrome. And I like that. You can be able to push, hey, there's a new podcast out, so forth. All right, Baltimore police have used a secret cell phone interceptor more than 25,000 times. So I guess the department's starting to come clean about its use of cell phone signal interceptors, commonly known as stingrays, and the numbers are alarming. According to recent court testimony reported by Baltimore Sun, the city's police have used stingrays with a court order more than 25,000 times. It's a massive number, represent average of nearly 9 uses a day for 8 years. The Boston Police Department acquired the technology in 2007, and it doesn't include any emergency uses of the device, which would have proceeded without a court order. The agency had previously said that the device only was used 4,300 times over that period. So now it's 25,000, almost sixfold higher. So, and if you want to read about what that does and what that device is used for, I'll have the link up in the show notes. All right, moms and dads or grandmas and grandpas, you're about ready to have a new grandchild or a new son or daughter. There's some cool tech that really rocks the cradle and starts right off before the baby's even born, called Womb, W-O-M-B service. And they've got pacifiers for post-birth that are got all kinds of electronics in them and a whole bunch of other cool stuff. And monitoring baby when he wakes up or he or she wakes up, and a whole bunch of other stuff, and the teeth brushing stuff as the kids get older. Lots of cool tech stuff for the kids and babies. Link will be up in the show notes for you. This kind of stuff is all going to be the rage. All right, Toshiba has got a retail robot. It's a humanoid, and it's ready to greet you and help you find stuff in a store in Tokyo. So, you know, it's kind of creepy. I'm looking at this, and for those of you that are watching the show, I'm going to load the page here. So if you've been going into, this robot is actually got a name. It's called Akiko Chihara. It's a humanoid greeter robot at Tokyo's Mitsubishi Department Store. The kimono-clad automation will guide you around the shop while it blinks and smiles. At once helpful, and as you can see, a little creepy, it can respond to questions. Wow. But it's capable of handling both spoken and sign languages. And no, Eco isn't an interactive, relentless, adorable soft bank, but it's a big-time saver, I guess, and it prevents you from getting lost in the aisles. I don't want this thing following me anywhere. Absolutely nowhere. But before too long, there's going to be a percentage of Japanese men that are going to be absolutely obsessed with this robot. Let you think about, take that on your own. You can get Twitter direct messages from anyone. Now, if you want, you have to turn it on. I think I'm going to be leaving this off. I don't need DMs from spammers and idiots. And if I'm friending you, you can DM me. And if I haven't followed you back and you're listening to the show, please let me know. I don't know. You guys want people direct messaging you on Twitter that you don't know? Just let those come in. Seems like a big abuse profile here. But anyway, with the amount of harassment on Twitter, I just don't know. All right. Jack, I know you're listening. You're gonna love this. And for those of you that are into aviation, listen up. Siemens has come up with an electric aircraft motor that is very capable. Now, this is just a start. This is their first prototype. And this thing will tip the scales at 50 kilograms. So it's not going to be light. And it's toted to deliver approximately 348 shaft horsepower at 2,500 RPMs. That is five times greater than any comparable power plant. It translates to packing enough punch to send an aircraft that has a takeoff weight of up to 1,800 or 2 tons into the air. So this is an electric aircraft motor. Very, very cool. It's all about the torque, folks, and that being able to keep that shaft moving. But 2,500 RPM, 348 horsepower. Can't wait to see this thing attached to an airplane and let them do their thing. All right, Elon Musk almost sold Tesla to Google for $11 billion. Back in 2013, Tesla was in a jam, and they were struggling to take orders and produce and deliver. And Elon had actually reached out to Google and had a deal in hand. They were ready to sign. But a few weeks later, after they, you know, in March of 2013, when Musk reached out to Larry Page, some orders started to come in and things turned around. So they almost were Googleized. But the talks dissolved after the orders started coming in. All right, HBO is cracking down on HBO Now subscribers based outside the U.S. So if you're using a VPN, just like Netflix, they're taking action, okay? All right, if you've been thinking about the details of the Apple Watch and how the heartbeat works and so forth, there's a good article on it on 9to5Mac.com. So it gets into the details of how it really does what it does. Also, web advertising giant Google is going to spew ads over web using HTTPS. So we're going to be using secure web ads because a lot of sites are going secure. Google's encouraging companies and website owners to do that, along with being mobile ready. So web advertising giant, again, is going to spew ads in HTTPS so that you don't have to have ads on your site that aren't running secure. Final couple articles tonight. Stunning elevator ride up one World Trade Center shows 515 years of New York City. And 515? Is that right? But anyway, it shows it from a settlement to what it is today. And as you rise in the elevator, the images change. So it's a pretty cool thing. I don't know if this is in all of the elevators, but it's at least in several of them. And you'll be able to see the history in New York befold right in front of your eyes. Let's see here. YouTube app no longer available on older Apple TV and iOS devices. So YouTube today announced changes to its YouTube data API, causing many older apps on various devices to stop functioning. On the second generation Apple TV, older, the YouTube channel will no longer be accessible, and on the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch, iOS 7 or later is required for a YouTube app to function. So this means some other devices too, like Google TV and so forth, may be affected. So we'll see where this happens, but Google's making a change. Final article. This is by the folks at deals.kinja.com. And if you're looking for a speaker to have in the shower to either listen to my very capable podcast or to just simply jam out, you can do that with a $25 in the shower bathroom speaker that will hook up via Bluetooth, and it can get wet, and you can jam out listening to Geek News Central in the shower. That's a great place to listen to this show. You may end up taking very, very long showers, because I know the information is so tantalizing. So, all right. So let me load up email here. Let's see what we've got. I know some stuff had come in. And the last show was, boy, oh boy, let me get the date here. I'm still waiting for some of these to load. Let me look at the calendar here, make sure I got the right date. So the last show would have been on the 9th. So this comment from the 10th would be available. Well, I got an email from Greg. He said, "Hey, Todd, businesses weren't even allowed on the internet when I started working in the computing industry. In my opinion, the internet was never designed for the security authentication needs of commerce. The new executive order is obviously overbroad. It makes criminals out of network professionals. The president's schedule only leaked out because some doofus put schedule on a machine connected to the internet, which is an inherently risky thing to do." I think I read this in the last show, so I apologize. But that was in regards to some executive orders that came out from the president. Got an email from Andy. He said, "Hey, Todd, I've never looked back after buying Panasonic. Top-of-the-line Braun is also good. I like a close shave, and these are much better than straight or traditional shave. You should try one." Andy, I'm serious. I've used electric razors before. They tear up my face. I'm not impressed with them. Nothing, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, beats for smoothness for a long time, to like go all the way from the morning to the afternoon. Nothing beats a razor. Nothing. And some of you will disagree with this, but every time I've shaved with an electric razor, I always end up with like burn marks or something. It just hurts my face. So I'm sure you're used to it, but maybe I have, Annie, maybe what it is, maybe I have a little bit tougher whiskers than you. Could that be the case? Try Harry's, Andy. Go load it up. Go to harrys.com. Use that promo code GEEKNEWS. Get you one and try it. And then send me back the report, all right? It's going to cost you $10. So, give it a try. Support the show here. Got an email from Jeff. Says, "Hey, Todd, Los Angeles School District demands multi-million dollar refund from Apple. They're not having a good luck with their implementation out there." So I think we talked a little bit about this on a previous show as well. Part of the schoolwork is not making it into the curriculum's not making it into the devices, which is causing an issue. My kids, next year, my son is going into an all-digital school here in Hawaii. We'll see how it works out. It's going to be a big experiment. They actually get laptops. They don't get to take them home, but in the classroom and around school, they have them out all day, and then they put them in the charger at the end of the day. So we'll see what happens with them as they make that transition. All right, here. I'm actually doing decent on time. I don't know how the heck that happened. I had a lot of stuff to go through, too, so I talked a lot at the beginning of the show. I want to just say right now, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank all of the GNC Insiders. All of you that are supporting the show at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I've got a big update to do. The part of the announcement at NewTek was that they are going to, they've got a software update for my TriCaster. And, of course, I own two TriCasters now, but I'm only going to update one. At this point, it's about $1,500. So what we're going to be using is a portion of the insider money that has been coming in. We're going to be used to do a hardware upgrade or software upgrade here in the studio. And it's going to help me be more efficient. I've actually can get rid of some of the extra gear that I've got because it duplicates some stuff that I'm doing now. Save me a little bit of a mass of wiring stuff. But, you know, it takes the base amount to keep this machine running a month is pretty significant from hosting and servers and everything else that goes along with doing this show. So the insider support goes a long, long way in helping me continue to keep the lights on it and do what we do here. So, you know, between the regular sponsors and those of you that have come in and contributed your hard-earned cash, I really appreciate it. If you're not yet an insider, please consider becoming one. And I hope that I give you great value for what I produce here in the show. And again, I'm jet lagging pretty hard tonight, Red Bulled it up to get enough energy to get through the show. And I hope I was coherent. I hope I was entertaining for you. I want to hear your feedback, geeknews@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought of the show, what you hated, what you loved. And we'll be back with you on Thursday for a regular edition of this podcast. But thank you all. It's been an incredible, you know, I just, every time I sit down here to record this show, I often think, what would have happened? How would my life be different today if I had not gotten hurt June 2nd, 2004, and then ended up in a body cast and having to babysit airplanes in Waco, Texas, and hearing about podcasting sitting in my hotel room? How a chain of events took place that led me to this space. I don't even want to contemplate, to be honest with you, where I would be today. And you've been along with me for the ride. I appreciate all of you being part of the Ohana here. All right, we'll see you next time, everyone. Take care. Before I get too melodramatic, let's move on. We'll get into the next show. Everyone take care. We'll see you on Thursday, okay? Everyone take care. Aloha.